This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here from RotoWire. Go check out our new look over at RotoWire. If you use promo code PURPLE, you can get a big discount on any promo code on any RotoWire product if you want to go check it out. We're really pleased with our new layout there. Big day, big show here today. Mike Brown is the new head coach for the Knicks, or is expected to be. That'll lead the way to a bunch of other NBA talk. It's a big day for VSiN. Yesterday, the NFL betting guide came out. We're going to talk a little bit about the breakdown there of the betting guide, including some input from our good friend Nick Whalen here. The John Deere Classic is this week. Len Hochberg's going to join us. And then we'll do some over-unders and some other baseball bets on tonight's slate as well. Nick, let's start off with the Knicks, though. Looks like they finally got a head coach. Mike Brown wasn't turned down for any job interviews. They actually got their man.
Yeah, after apparently inquiring on several active head coaches, the Knicks end up going with Mike Brown. Like you said, this deal not officially official, but it's been reported by the guys who don't report fake news. So my expectation, at least, is that we'll see Mike Brown introduced as the Knicks head coach within the next couple of days. You know, you're talking about a guy with a career 60% win percentage. Obviously, a lot of that came early in his career, tethered to LeBron in the Cleveland days. I thought he did a really good job in Sacramento. These last few years, probably his best coaching job, maximizing that roster, working with a really difficult ownership group, a really difficult front office, obviously a franchise that hasn't had a ton of success, I should say. He has experience with the Golden State Warriors during the Kevin Durant run. So overall, this is fine. You know, I think you look at Mike Brown and you say it's a pretty safe hire, in my opinion. Is it a notable upgrade from Tom Thibodeau? If you're a Knicks fan, are you running into the streets right now and jumping around saying, we hired Mike Brown? I'm not sure you are. You know, it's ultimately a little bit underwhelming to me, and I think is, you know, significant in the way that, you know, the Knicks were probably targeting some of those names like Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd and had to go to their secondary list. What I'm curious to see, Jeff, is how the Knicks build out the rest of this coaching staff. Mike Brown, rock solid hire, good defensive mind. I think they need to find an offensive guru type. James Borrego, the former head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, his name has been in the mix, and bringing in someone like that, somebody to handle the offense, make sure it doesn't get bogged down like it really felt like it did so many times in the postseason, I think that's almost more important than the Brown hire.
It is. It really is. So I think that's going to be important to check out and see exactly what they're able to do. Now, looking at their offseason and look at some of the moves here, you know, they're going to be going and adding Jordan Clarkson, going to be some depth on that roster. I know they were rumored at one point in time as maybe a LeBron target there at some point in time. That seems less likely now. They also just added another player, French player. And I mean, you're going to help me out here on the pronunciation.
I wanted you to try to say it. Gershon Yabusele.
All right. He signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. You know, his success translates, shoots 50% from the field, 38 from three. You know, this is he was on a bad situation in Philly this year. Hard to stand out in that sort of environment there. What sort of role does Yabusele play with the Knicks?
I think he'll be in the rotation. You know, one of the after effects of parting ways with Tom Thibodeau is we probably see this roster and this rotation run quite a bit differently, right? I mean, in the regular season, the Knicks were 6.5, 7-man rotation on a lot of nights when most teams are running 9 or 10-man rotation. So I think we'll see a little bit more depth. I think we will, you know, we'll see preservation for guys like Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart. They won't be playing 40 minutes every single night, which I think you could spin as a positive in the long term, looking ahead to the postseason. Yabusele is just a role player, though. I mean, really good player. You know, a guy who was drafted by the Celtics back in the day, ended up going to Europe, really broke out for France in the Olympics last summer and earned himself a contract with the 76ers. That situation, of course, blew up. He probably ended up playing more minutes down the stretch than they ever expected. But look, if Gershon Yabusele is your like 7th, 8th, 9th man, you're doing just fine.
Right. And the fact is, getting a 7th, 8th, 9th man for the Knicks is kind of important after the Thibodeau era there, that trying to get a little bit of extra depth there. So that's, they did that. I think that's a lesson that a lot of these teams are learning from the playoffs, from this last run of the playoffs. Let's move on. Dame Lillard, where are we looking at a potential landing spot?
Well, the reporting would tell us that the Lakers, the Celtics, the Warriors are among the teams that have inquired. as we laid out on the show yesterday, Damian Lillard is a free agent, and Damian Lillard is still making the the 2 years and $113 million that was left on his Milwaukee Bucks contract. Now, he'll make it over the course of 5 years as opposed to two, but nothing changes as far as what he is owed. So typically in these situations, when you have a player bought out and stretched, that player will sign for close to the minimum. You know, when you have a unique situation like this in Lillard, who's injured, but, you know, it still could be a borderline all-star caliber player when he comes back, we'll see. There may be enough of a bidding war here that Lillard won't end up signing for the minimum, because, you know, we could have 5, 6, 7, 8 teams interested. To me, every contending team should be signing up to bring in Damian Lillard at a dramatically reduced cost. And at this point, if I'm Damian Lillard, you know, I had a great run in Portland. I came to Milwaukee, tried to win a title. It didn't work out. It went about as badly as it could have. I still think he's seeking that ring, right? So we're not going to see Damian Lillard go and sign with the Charlotte Hornets. We're talking contending teams who could either win the title this coming season or the year after. And, you know, it's not out of the question to me, Jeff, that Lillard could come back at the end of this season. You know, the Achilles tends to be more of a, you know, 10 to 12 month injury, whereas we're seeing guys come back a little bit faster from torn ACL. So it's not for sure, but this happened midway through round one of the playoffs. So it's totally possible that, especially if he signs with a team that makes a deep playoff run, he could be added to one of these contenders as the postseason goes along. All of those teams I mentioned are really intriguing. Boston, that might be the one, if you're Milwaukee, where you're like, please don't do it to us again. You know, a couple of years ago, they parted ways with Drew Holiday. He immediately goes to the Celtics and wins a title. I think that would just add insult to injury if he were to make his way to Boston.
Yeah. Kind of like, I was like, okay, I'm fine with the Pacers losing Miles Turner, but anywhere but Milwaukee. You know, it's kind of the similar sort of vein there as far as it goes. So it goes. Denver Nuggets making big moves in free agency. They, obviously the big trade. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. You really like what the Nuggets have done this offseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Denver has done as well as any team so far this summer. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the Houston Rockets loading up, bringing in Kevin Durant, bolstering their depth. And we see the Houston Rockets now at plus 450 to win the Western Conference. I still think Denver at plus 650 right now. That number is down even from where it was yesterday. To me, that is still the best value on the board. There is, of course, the boogeyman in that conference. You know, winning the West requires you to knock off Oklahoma City at some point. So we'll see if either of those teams have enough firepower to do that. But I think Denver hit a home run getting off of the Michael Porter Jr. contract. Yes, you had to attach a 2032 first round pick. Maybe that comes back to bite them 7 years from now. But I think that's a decision that they'll live with. You know, who knows where Nikola Jokic is at that point. So saving the money that they did on Michael Porter Jr., opening up the mid-level exception, giving them room to bring in Bruce Brown, and then getting, in my opinion, the more I've looked into this, Jeff, I've read up on it even more. I know we talked about it on yesterday's show. I think Cam Johnson's just a straight-up better player than Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. He's making less money. He's just as good of a three-point shooter. He's a lot more cerebral offensively. He's not a great defender, but, you know, similar size to MPJ. He's a lot smarter on both ends of the court. I think Denver, you know, coming out of a season where they fired their head coach, they fired their GM, there's a lot of questions about, man, is this team kind of being run into the ground? Are they wasting Nikola Jokic's prime? It feels to me like they're right back on track.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, if you're Denver, even like if this 2032 pick does come back to be a high value, you got to max out when you've got a star, when you've got Jokic in his prime. You max out. That's what you do. So there's a trade-off? Sure. And I think in the defense of Brooklyn, this is exactly how OKC kind of went about building their wagon of a team. You know, you take those future first round picks, you take them, you know, they're unprotected, you know, you got that going for you there, that it could be a really valuable pick. And it's just, you get there with quantity and quantity, hopefully there. And they are taking on a lot of bad contracts, like the Michael Porter Jr. contract there. We saw some moves with the Pistons. A lot going on here. I know we had a brief conversation about the Malik Beasley situation on Monday. We could talk more about that and talk about what they did do.
Yeah, so Beasley's in some hot water here. There's been some reporting that, you know, his financial troubles off the floor, you know, date back to his days in Minnesota. Still don't really want to speak on, you know, where this investigation is headed, but it doesn't look great right now for Malik Beasley. Doesn't look like the Pistons are going to offer him a contract. You know, there was a report out there that a 3-for-48 deal was on the table. Well, that deal went to Duncan Robinson yesterday. So if Malik Beasley ultimately is cleared of all this, which, again, who knows how it turns out, I don't think he's going to be back with Detroit next season. The Pistons have had a relatively quiet last couple of weeks. We've seen teams like Boston and Atlanta and Orlando make these dramatic moves. The Pistons have kind of been on the back burner, but brought in Caris LeVert. Now you bring in one of the best shooters in the NBA in Duncan Robinson, essentially as your Malik Beasley replacement. They did lose Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Denver Nuggets. That's ultimately fine. I actually like LeVert a little bit more than him as an all-around player. So I think if you're Detroit, you'd still like to make one more move to feel like it pushes you up a level in the Eastern Conference. But this should, again, be a really competitive team.
It should be. Another Eastern Conference team kind of loading up for a very interesting season. Did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com. Enter promo code VSiN at checkout and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. We talked briefly about, real quick here, Toronto is also in the mix a little bit there in the East. They've been busy too.
Yeah, Raptors extended Jakob Poeltl yesterday, 4 years, 104. So actually pretty similar to the numbers that we saw for the Miles Turner deal. Still not sure exactly how competitive the Raptors will be next season, but they at least think they'll be in the mix.
Indeed. All right, you know what else is going to be in the mix? The VSiN NFL betting guide. We'll talk about that next here on Prop Play.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a big day here at VSiN. Actually, it started yesterday. The VSiN NFL betting guide is live for you to go ahead and purchase. We're very excited about this. It was almost double last year. We got tons of fantasy content as well as betting content in the betting guide. Nick Whalen was a big contributor to this as well. Lots to talk about here, but great stuff. I just remember using the March Madness one and making it was very profitable for me. Mm-hmm. I won a couple of tournament pools using the betting guide for the March Madness. So looking forward to using the betting guide for the NFL as well.
Yeah, man, this thing is a monster. I've been paging through it over the last couple of days. 94 pages worth of NFL content for you. We got fantasy updates, fantasy outlooks. We got win totals. We have season-long player props, awards picks, even some bets for week one. I was really privileged to have a hand in this. I want to thank Adam Burke for allowing us to be a part of it. But all your favorite VSiN hosts, all your favorite VSiN contributors had a huge hand in putting this together, and highly, highly advise checking it out over at VSiN.com.
One of the bets that you highlighted in there, Nick, was as a Jaguars fan, you're still picking the Texans to win the AFC South.
I am. And, I had a little write-up in the guide that I encourage you to check out, but I'll basically try to summarize that as well as I can here. The Jaguars are the primary threat to the Houston Texans. If you look at the odds, the sentiment around this team, there's an overwhelming amount of positivity around the Jaguars, which is always a red flag for me. That never turns out well for this franchise. But a lot of what we're forecasting with the Jaguars is rooted in this idea that, Liam Cohen is going to immediately come in and turn around the team, which I think he will to some degree. I still think he's probably the best head coach Trevor Lawrence has ever had, despite the fact that he's never coached a game yet. That just really speaks to the other options that have been there in Jacksonville, but there's still a lot of what ifs here, right? It's like, man, what if Travis Etienne gets back to the player that we thought he could be? What if this is the year Trevor Lawrence turns the corner? What if Travis Hunter hits the ground running? I mean, this is a team that has a ton of holes. I'm a little bit skeptical of what Travis Hunter is going to give them as a rookie. You're asking a lot of Brenton Strange, who was kind of a bit player, to step up at tight end. The offensive line was one of the worst units in the league last year. The secondary was arguably the worst in the NFL. There's just a lot of holes for the Jaguars to fill this season in a very short amount of time. And look, there are some holes for the Houston Texans as well. You got a completely new group of wide receivers outside of Nico Collins. You lose Laremy Tunsil to an offensive line that already struggled last year. I get all that. But I think the path to winning 9, maybe 10 games and taking the division, it's just a lot easier for Houston they have for Jacksonville to see, you know, a 6-7 win improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's kind of interesting. You know, Houston has retooled their offensive line. They fired their offensive coordinator. And this is all related. I think the offensive line issues, the blocking issues were a real problem. Despite all that, we're talking about them in terms of disappointment and problem. They still went 10-7, still won the division, still won a playoff game going away against the Chargers. And they gave the Chiefs, you know, a lot that they could handle there too. So there's a lot of talent on this Houston team. I like D'Amico Ryans as a head coach. Obviously, C.J. Stroud we like. I think they had some really bad receiver luck last year. They are reinforced this year with a lot of depth on that wide receiver room. So I think there's a lot to like about this Houston team. I think the big lingering question has to be whether these offensive line changes worked.
No question. That's the biggest liability for Houston right now. You know, a team that I think graded out 26th in an offensive line play at PFF last year. And then again, you trade away the one reliable guy on that offensive line. So that is a major, major question mark. It's just, to me, I don't have too many other question marks. Yeah, you know, I like what they did bringing in Nick Chubb, bringing in some depth to that backfield. The defense is rock solid. They have one of the best corner duos in the NFL. You got a great pass rusher in Will Anderson. If they could just manage the offensive line, I'm not saying this has to be a top five, top 10 unit in the NFL. If they can just be like the 17th best offensive line, I think the Texans to me have the highest floor in this division. It's easiest for me to see the path to winning the AFC South. And you're still getting this at plus money, right? It's not like you're laying minus 170, right. It's plus 115.
Exactly. I could go on about this for a while. I mean the Colts, we can spend a whole segment on the Colts, just talking about all the uncertainty dealing with
team,
but got a lot of other stuff in the betting guide, though, too, that we want to talk about. Your offensive player of the year bet. Who do you have?
I got Bijan Robinson at 16-1, and the price is certainly a part of this. Saquon Barkley, by the way, is the favorite to repeat, which has not been done since the turn of the century. Marshall Faulk did it in like 99 and 2000. So, you know, there are plenty of options here. This has basically become the non-quarterback MVP award in recent years. Obviously, there's a case for Ja'Marr Chase. There's a case for Derrick Henry. There's a case for Justin Jefferson. But I thought 16-1 for a guy who closed the season extremely strongly, you know, it took on a much larger workload over the second half of the year, really became the offense for the Atlanta Falcons after some hesitancy earlier in the year. You look at his last eight games, 824 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns. He was touching the ball 24 times per game in that span compared to 19 over the first half of the season. Now, of course, the Falcons offense in general was just bogged down by Kirk Cousins. So I'm high on Atlanta this year. I have them, you know, maybe even sneaking in as a playoff team. I think they could push to win the NFC South. And I think that all starts with Bijan Robinson. The case for him versus someone like Saquon Barkley, Jeff, is that I think we've already seen Saquon's best season. I think we might have just seen Ja'Marr Chase's best season. We might have already seen two of Derrick Henry's best seasons. If I'm betting someone for offensive player of the year, I want it to be someone who feels like they still have another level up. And to me, that's Bijan Robinson.
Right. Plus, you know, it's a lot more fun on a long lasting award like this to get some better payout odds too. You know, I mean, even it's not like we have anybody that's a prohibitive favorite when your favorite's like in the plus 800s, you're not really running away with it there, but at the same time, you want to get a little bit of a payoff here. You want to get a little bit of a bang for your buck, especially investing in a long-term award there. So I like that. We're going to go negative here, though. There's a team you're betting under. Who is it?
It's the Cleveland Browns with this win total sitting at 5.5. This one comes in at minus 140. So I just don't know what the case is for the Browns to win six games. That's crazy to me. I would even consider this at 4.5, to be honest. I mean, the Browns were a 3-win team a year ago. I don't really know what happened this summer where you say, all right, I'm really optimistic about the direction that the Cleveland Browns are moving in. I mean, quarterback is an obvious weakness. They have one of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL. You bring in Mason Graham, you bring in Quinshon Judkins. I like both of those guys in the long term. I don't think you look at either of those and say, oh, that's worth 3 or 4 wins as in their rookie seasons. But the big thing here is the schedule. Of course, the Browns play and arguably the most difficult and most consistently difficult division in the NFL. You got 2 against the Steelers, 2 against the Ravens, 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals. But out of division, Jeff, despite finishing last in the AFC North last year, they play Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, and Buffalo. You do get the Dolphins, you get the Jets, you get the Raiders, you get the Titans, but they basically need to win all 4 of those games, and then you need to pull some pretty unlikely upsets in division to find a path to six wins. I just think it's really unlikely.
Yeah, and they have to do it early, too. I mean, their first two games are against divisional foes. They play all three AFC North foes in the first six games. So, I mean, I think that is a tough part of the challenge, too. You don't have time to settle in. I mean, I think the only argument really in favor is that, you know, Joe Flacco led them to the playoffs a couple of years ago. Think about that for a second there, by the way, that we're talking about a team that's 2 years removed from a playoff game. The comeback player of the year in Joe Flacco, you know, he could be comeback player of the year somehow if it all works out. But yeah, I'm with you. I would bet the under on this one as well. One more. You got another bet in the guy that we want to talk about. Sneaky MVP bet for you.
Yeah. This one's a little bit more of a, you know, a Hail Mary, taking a shot here. And part of it is the price, of course. Jared Goff to win the MVP at 30-1. Now, do I think this will happen necessarily? No, I do not. But when you're looking at a long shot, I think you have to craft a narrative. And I also like Dan Campbell, by the way, at 22-1 to win Coach of the Year. I think it's basically the same narrative. If Jared Goff has the same level of success statistically that he did last season, if the Lions had the same level of success as a team, if they win 13, 14 games, if they're the one seed in the NFC and Jared Goff is really efficient, he puts up 35 touchdowns and, I don't know, 8 interceptions, I think there's going to be a narrative that emerges that, wow, maybe Ben Johnson, you know, wasn't the key to all this. Maybe Jared Goff deserves a little more credit. Maybe Dan Campbell deserves a little bit more credit. Look, when you're betting an MVP at 30-1, it's going to require some luck around the way. You know, it's like you'll need Lamar Jackson to regress. You'll need Josh Allen to regress. You'll need Joe Burrow to regress. So again, there's a reason that he's priced where he is. But this is one where when I started to kind of, you know, spin the wheel a little bit, try to come up with some narratives, I was like, man, if Detroit just keeps rolling without Ben Johnson, I think a lot of people are going to start looking at Jared Goff differently.
Indeed. We're talking about the VSiN Betting Guide. If you're serious about winning football this season, the Betting Guide is your first real edge, and it's available now. Packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, and betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Lock in our football special for just $175 and get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including every betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video, and all the data and tools on VSiN.com. The early bird pricing expires July 31st, so don't wait. Sign up today and get your copy of the NFL Season Betting Guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, we're going to switch the conversation over to golf. We got the John Deere Classic. Len Hochberg is going to join us from RotoWire coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. Plenty of day baseball going on right now. A bunch of makeup games today after rain moved through the East Coast on Tuesday. We got the Rays leading the Athletics right now, 6-3. That one almost over already. We're in the top of the ninth. Pirates jumping out to another lead, Jeff. All the Pirates do is win baseball games. They're up 5-0 on the St. Louis Cardinals, top of the eighth there. Game one of a doubleheader between the Padres and the Phillies. San Diego up 6-0 already. We're in the end of the fourth inning. And the Detroit Tigers also game one of a doubleheader, up 10-0 on Trevor Williams and the Washington Nationals. 6 RBI and counting already for Riley Green. Mets also leading the Brewers 2-1 in another game one of a doubleheader. We'll talk more about that second game later in the show. Anyway, I've rambled too long. We got a guest joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. It's our friend Len Hochberg, golf expert over at rotowire.com. You can check him out on Twitter at Len Hochberg. Len, we got the John Deere Classic coming our way. Starts up tomorrow morning. Little bit of a you know, reduced field in terms of some of the big names, but as you told us on SiriusXM earlier today, actually a pretty impressive field by John Deere standards.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. And that, yeah, it is the best John Deere field ever, but that's not to say it's a great field. You know, Jason Day, Ben Griffin, Sung J.M., Ricky Fowler, Max Homan, some guys meant more name worthy than playing well worthy, but I'm sure the tournament organizers and the people who'll be attending the tournament are thrilled because it is the best field they've ever had. and they come every year. So it's about time they got something really to see.
Yeah, and I like seeing some of the have-nots get rewarded every once in a while with a decent field. I mean, it's such a bifurcated field now, or I should say tour schedule right now, where you've got all the elevated events in the majors versus the other events, and we're seeing loss of sponsors, we're seeing some diminished fields and some really traditionally good tournaments. So really happy to see a tournament like the Deer get rewarded.
Yeah, and before we congratulate anybody, it's not like they intended to do that. The people at right. The PGA Tour, it just sort of worked out that way. I mean, it used to be the week before the Open Championship, which really was the worst spot on the entire schedule because the players had to get over to England or the UK to avoid jet lag, and so that was an issue. But a few years ago, when the tour got together with the DP World Tour to co-sponsor the Scottish Open, obviously right before the Open Championship, a natural fit there, that moved the Deer 2 weeks back, and that changed everything for this tournament. So they have gotten significantly better fields every year since the Scottish has joined the schedule, and this is their best yet.
Talking with Len Hochberg, our golf betting expert over at rotowire.com, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Len, despite not having most of the big names in the field this week, I know you view this as still somewhat of a top-heavy field, meaning that a lot of the golfers toward the bottom, inexperienced, a lot of younger players in this event, 156 players in the field in total. Does that change the way you would attack, betting this tournament, especially if you're looking at yes, no to make the cut, or even building a DFS lineup?
Yeah, it really is a challenging week for me, and I think for everybody, because there are some names at the top that I really do like, the few guys who are the bigger names and the bigger prices. But really, like you said, 156 deep, there are a lot of guys that a lot of people don't even know about, not even familiar with, Korn Ferry players and beyond. And so that creates a real lineup challenge to get six through for the weekend, because there's not a lot in the 6,000s that I really like. It is a challenging week from that perspective.
One of the things you brought out when we were talking on our fantasy show earlier today on SiriusXM Fantasy is there's some split between like the DFS prices and the betting odds, where, for instance, there, Jason Day is priced a little higher at DraftKings than Ben Griffin, but Ben Griffin is easily the betting favorite over Day.
Yeah, and that's not something we see often or hardly ever. And when I began my research for the week and I saw that, it was really eye-popping to me. They're almost the same price in the DFS landscape, the DraftKings landscape, 10-5 for Jason Day, 10-4 for Ben Griffin. Even a little surprising that Day is ahead, even though they're so close. But as you said, +1,600 for Griffin in the betting market, +2,500 for Jason Day. We just don't see that that way that often, hardly ever.
All right, Len. So talking about Jason Day, like we said, 25-1 to win the tournament. Ben Griffin at 16-1. We got Denny McCarthy 25-1. Michael Thorbjornsson at 28-1. Those are your four favorites. They're the only four golfers shorter than 30-1. They're all values, I think, to some degree here. But of that four, who's your favorite this week?
Yeah, that's it's a tough call. I think Ben Griffin will get a lot of attention this week because he is the top guy in the field right now. But I'm wondering about how fresh he is. This will be his 10th start in 11 weeks. Comparison, Jason Day has played only 12 times all year. Ben Griffin's playing every week, 23 times out of 27 so far this year, presumably playing the next two. So I'm a little cautious there that at some point, and especially it's going to be super, super hot this week, around 90 degrees every day this week. I might reach out because a little bit longer odds to Michael Thorbjornsson. He was runner up here last year. This course fits him perfectly from the standpoint that there's not a lot of trouble. And he hits it a ton off the tee, and he doesn't really look where it goes, and he doesn't have to worry where it goes this week because the fairways are super wide open. Coming off a good week last week, You know, he was the number one amateur coming out of college 2 years ago. And we see these guys really start to develop and just come out better than ever before. And he's really starting to make a name for himself now.
Yeah, we saw Thor Bjornsson finish T4 last week, just missed out on the playoff. One player in that playoff last week was Chris Kirk. You know, and I think even though a completely different type of player than Thor Bjornsson, I think he's also set up well here for the John Deere. I just think he's not a great putter. That's the only thing that's a problem. We saw that in the playoff, unfortunately, but I don't know. I have a good vibe about Kirk again this week.
Yeah, it goes to the point that I always say there's always more than one way to win a golf tournament. The shorter hitter has challenges that the longer hitter doesn't, but there's always a pathway. And Chris Kirk has not had a good season this year, but his two best tournaments have been his last two tournaments, and at completely different tracks, the U.S. Open and at the Detroit Golf Club, which means that a lot of different things in his game are going well right now. And he didn't putt well in the playoff, but he was 22nd for the week. So overall, he was putting much better, and that's been his big issue all season long.
All right, Len, let's take a look at some long shots. We're talking guys who, you know, are priced in the 7,000s range or lower on DraftKings, guys who are at least 50-1 to win the tournament. Who are some names if you're looking to throw some darts this week?
Yeah, I've actually added a few more 7,000s than usual to my DraftKings article on RotoWire, the all-new RotoWire, because I don't like the 6,000s too much. Nico Echeverria, sixth last week. There are a lot of similarities between last week at Detroit Golf Club and TPC John Deere in the sense that weak field, not a difficult course, going to have to make a lot of birdies. So looking to last week, besides being recent form, there are some other comparisons as well. Lee Hodges at 7,300. He has a really nice blend in his game. 30th in approach, 40th in tee to green on tour, 60th in putting. That is a very balanced player right there. Emiliano Grillo, boy, he did not play well last week at the Rocket, but I think that's an aberration because he had been playing well for some time. And Seamus Power at $7,200. Seamus Power has not played well this year. He hasn't played well for a few years. But this Irishman comes to the Quad Cities every year and plays well every year. 17th last year. He's had a number of top 25s, eighth a couple of years ago. And, you know, you could find some real value there. Who knows why a guy likes to come to from Ireland, likes to come to Illinois and play, but he does, and he plays well. And, you know, and that's all that matters.
All right, what's not to love about the Midwest, Len? I'm not going to fight him on that. Len, awesome stuff, man. Appreciate you giving us some of your time. You can check out Len's preview article over at the newly redesigned rotowire.com. You can check him out on Twitter at Len Hochberg. Again, Len Hochberg, our golf expert over at rotowire.com. Folks, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. It's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., You can make your sports picks against groups of fans rather than the sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Again, use that promo code VSIN. We got to head to break. We'll give you some MLB score updates, some best bets for the night slate coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Closing things out with some baseball talk as we take you up to the top of the hour. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next, as always, here on VSiN. He's going to have John Hanson, the guru, joining the show today to talk some fantasy, talk about his over and underachievers, which you can find in the VSiN betting guide available right now over at VSiN.com. Jeff, as we mentioned earlier in the show, still plenty of ongoing day games right now in Major League Baseball. We do have one final. The Rays held off a late rally by the Athletics, led 6-2 heading into the ninth. A's put up three runs. The rally ends up falling short. Rays win that one 6-5. Padres still jumping all over the Phillies. That one 6-0 in the top of the sixth. Tigers opening up a big lead on the Washington Nationals, 10-0 as we head to the bottom of the fifth. Mets still lead the Brewers 2-1 in the first game of a doubleheader. Pirates up 5-0 on the Cardinals. They're going for their sixth consecutive win. And your Cincinnati Reds, Jeff, in a unique spot here, resuming a suspended game from yesterday. They now lead the Red Sox 3-2 heading to the fifth inning.
Yeah, and the Red Sox used Brian Bello, who was originally going to start tonight's game. Instead, they used him to resume this one. They're going to call up Cooper Criswell. We'll talk more about that one a little bit. But Spencer Steer just homered off of Bello to restart this game. They're now up 3-2. They were down 2-1 to start that one game. Fun game there, just fun series because they're celebrating the 1975 World Series, 50th anniversary of that. The NESN broadcast is using some retro font, then also kind of just a retro style broadcast there. So been fun to watch that, at least. Much more fun than the Chase Burns debacle on Monday, at least.
We won't speak on the Chase Burns debacle. That has been dead and buried. We did mention the debacle happening right now for the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, they are down 6-0 in the top of the sixth. Another rough start for Mick Abel, Jeff. Lasted just 1 2/3, gave up 5 earned runs, 5 walks as well, 53 pitches. Yeah. Is he in danger of losing a spot in the rotation?
Yeah, he absolutely is, and we'll see how this doubleheader affects things. Maybe Taijuan Walker goes back in there. Keep in mind, at some point, they're going to get Aaron Nola back in there. Keep in mind also, Andrew Painter's coming, and that's the thing that I think that will kind of really push this to a tough decision here, a good tough decision for the Phillies. But I think, you know, there were some pretty big bids on Abel after he had that first that really splashy debut. Hasn't been as great lately.
All right, let's take a look at some of the best bets for the night slate, Jeff. We'll go to Yankees, Blue Jays. We got the Yankees as favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 9. Will Warren going up against Jose Berríos. I know you have a play on that total.
Yeah, and the thing is that I am a little hesitant to I almost want to bet the Jays again on the money line. Kind of decided away from it there because Jose Berríos doesn't have a very good track record against Yankees hitters. Aaron Judge, yesterday we were talking about his BVP. Well, against Berríos, he's got 4 homers against him and a 1,200 OPS. Not as big as the absurd 1,800 OPS the other day, but still. Warren yet hasn't faced the Yankees, and I know he's had some pretty good work here and there. This Jays lineup, though, has been pretty hot lately. I just think the over is a pretty good bet at over 9 at minus 102. I know it's a relatively high total. I think both teams are going to put up a number, though. So when you have both sides contributing to it there, you get to that number a little quicker. So let's go over 9.
So Brewers and the Mets are playing a doubleheader today. Brewers did just tie up the first game, by the way. Now 2-2 in the top of the sixth. 2 runners on, 1 out for Milwaukee. Bryce Turang with an RBI double. But you and I are both interested in the late game tonight, Jeff, where we will see Jacob Izurawski on the mound, taking on Blake Tidwell for the New York Mets. Brewers favorites on the money line, but honestly, Jeff, not as big a favorites as I would have expected.
Exactly. And I think that's why we're headed. I mean, you look at Tidwell, he struggled. I mean, he's really a fill-in. He's filling in for Griffin Canning. He came in, got called back up on the 27th, gave up, I think, 3 or 4 runs to the Pirates in that outing. 10-13 ERA. And, you know, these are two very similar teams. The Mets are only a half game better than the Brewers at 48-37. Brewers 47-37. We'll see what happens in this first one. This is kind of, I think, why the line isn't as big is maybe on the basis of the Mets' strong record at home. They're 29-12 at home going into this doubleheader. So I think that probably speaks to a lot of why that line's not bigger. But I'm not going to make this too complicated. I'm going the Brewers' money line probably for the same reason as you. Minus 119, I think, on the strength of a much better pitcher.
All right, well, told you that the Reds and the Red Sox are in the midst of a resumed game right now. They'll play again later tonight. What are we looking at for the pitching situation here with Boston, Jeff?
So we mentioned Brian Bello pitching. Cooper Criswell is slated to be the pitcher for the second game, whether it's as an opener or as the starter. He's going to be their bulk guy, except he pitched on Saturday in AAA. So he's pitching on 3 days rest through 87 pitches. So wasn't like he, so he can be stretched out, but it's not like he's gotten full recovery here either. I think the Red Sox, we'll see what happens in this first game too. If this bullpen gets to be worked a little harder, you know, we saw Jordan Hicks pitch on Monday, and he's certainly going to pitch in one of these two games today. I think that the Red Sox bullpen could be a little vulnerable. And meanwhile, this is the first start for Nick Martinez since his near no-hitter on Friday. The Reds, they play in a ballpark that is helpful for hitters, but Nick Martinez has been far worse on the road. 4.82 ERA this year, 1.35 whip. It's like a 0.97 whip at home. So you can see the contrast here. I think runs will be scored tonight, many of them. I'm going to go over 9.5 at -114.
Speaking of runs, the Philadelphia Phillies are on the board at home against the Padres in game one of that doubleheader. Kyle Schwarber with a solo homer. Still 6-1 Padres in the bottom of the six, mm-hmm. but Schwarber now on the board with a home run. Jeff, the Cleveland Guardians continue their series against the Cubs in Chicago. Cubs big favorites on the money line. Relatively low total here, coming in at 8. Tanner Bibee going up against Shota Imanaga.
Indeed. Imanaga, his second start since coming back from the IL, 5 shutout innings in his first start back. You know, Cleveland is especially bad against lefties. 271 WOBA, 73 WRC+. They're on a major slump, too. In the last 30 days, 266 WOBA, 69 WRC+. Meanwhile, Bibee is in a rough stretch. You know, I hate picking against him because I think I did one time with the Tigers where I made a strident play and he turned around and shut out the Tigers. But in his last 6 starts, Bibee is 0-4 with a 4.42 ERA and a 1.15 whip. The whip's not that bad, but the ERA's eh, and just obviously not getting much run support. The Cubs crush right-handers. I just think the price for the money line is prohibitive, so I'm going to look more towards like team totals. I'm going to go Cleveland under 3.5 runs on the team total at -120. But if you want to like parlay, do like a single game parlay, parlay that with the Cubs in the money line, I could get behind that as well.
Let's take a look at Giants Diamondbacks, Jeff. This is my best bet of the night last night. The over came through really just on the back of the Diamondbacks. Giants really didn't do a whole lot, but 4 homers for the bottom of that Arizona order. Yesterday was Hayden Birdsong. Today it's Landon Roop. Jeff, you think they could repeat it?
Yeah, I think I do. Roop has cosmetically pitched well the last 2 outings. He wasn't super efficient in his last start. It was against the White Sox also, so let's keep that in mind when you're great. You got a grade on the curve a little bit there. Walks are a problem for him. 5 in those last 2 starts where he's actually pitched well. Had a bad start against the Dodgers 3 starts ago where he gave up 5 walks. Meanwhile, Arizona just crushes right-handers. We saw them do it last night against Birdsong. 3.48 WOBA, 1.20 WRC+ against right-handers. So we're going to go with the over on the team total here, 4.5, Arizona 4.5 at +105. If you want to throw in a little something on Roop over 2.5 walks at +130, I could get behind that too.
It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you, as always, by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet in VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at FirstBet to trigger that $500 trifecta. If you do that, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. FirstBet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription, taking you all the way through October 31st. It's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from GBank, FirstBet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today over at VSiN.com/GBank. Terms and conditions apply. Jeff, I saw you messaging me. I saw it pop up on my computer during the read. The Brewers, 4 runs on the board, maybe a grand slam for Jory Ortiz.
Yep, they're a machine, cannot be stopped. My best bet today is going to be that Guardians team total, under 3.5 runs, -120. What say you, Nick?
I'm going to that second game between the Brewers and the Mets. You talked about it earlier. To me, it's as simple as getting a really nice price on a big pitching advantage with Jacob Mizrowski out there against Blake Tidwell for the New York Mets. So give me the Brewers money line, -119. That's going to wrap Prop Points on this Wednesday. Coming up next here on VSiN, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. John Hanson, the guru, hanging out with Adam, talking fantasy football. Don't miss it.